Hey everyone. Good to see you all. Happy Friday.
Hello.
All righty. Hey Rob.
Hiya. Hiya, Birdie.
All righty, let's get started here. I think I saw one question submitted. Let me open up the office hours here. Go. All right. Yeah, it looks like Jim, you sent in the first one. I remember reading this. You had a question about ThriveCart Learn versus using something like Thrive Apprentice, given the fact that you struggle with sometimes the technology side and the implementation of it, maybe the management of it, kind of all the above, right? So, yeah, I get that question a lot. Here's how I've explained it in the past. So I've said that if managing a tech stack like Thrive Apprentice, and inherently with it, the connections between ThriveCart and Thrive Apprentice, which is actually very easy. I've got tons of tutorials on that. But then, like, managing the idea of having to create like a customer dashboard and having to create a confirmation page and having to do all those moving parts like that, and then managing, well, then what if I want to connect it to, XYZ other platforms and tweaking your templates and so on? If that sounds overwhelming to you, then I would say, absolutely, I would go with ThriveCart Learn. But caveats, right? The big caveat is ThriveCart Learn, although very straightforward, it does not carry with it any level of customization that you will eventually grow into wanting if you're thinking about making this course platform something bigger for yourself in the future. If you just want to release a simple course and the educational material matters more than the experience that the user is going to go through, and if that matters more than having them on a website where you can expose them to other things that you're doing, create an ecosystem, that kind of thing. If just the material matters and the simplicity, ThriveCart Learn's the choice. However, in my courses, Thrive Apprentice to Master, etc., I walk through the whole process of making Thrive Apprentice very usable and approachable, particularly with some of my just drop-in templates for you to use. But you do have to have things like web hosting, and you do have to have a WordPress website, and you do have to make that decision. Am I going to manage the users' accounts on my WordPress site, or am I going to just let ThriveCart Learn do it all because I have it anyway? It's one of those things where I can't say, yep, this is absolutely the choice. Use Thrive Apprentice because Doug uses it. I think there is that consideration. So I don't know if that introduces more questions for you, or if that kind of gives you a good idea, feel free to kind of weigh in on where we're at.
As a rank beginner, I do have Thrive 3 themes on my WordPress website, and I get along okay with that. But I am a little overwhelmed, or at least I think I may be overwhelmed. Is there a, I don't really, I've already paid for ThriveCart, but I really don't care about that. If there is a simpler, easier, maybe beginner, more friendly system or like Teachable or something, do you have any recommendations? What, where would you send somebody who's a old?
You're not old.
I'm fairly old.
No, you're not old. You're not old. I would say, given the fact that you get along okay with, you said Thrive Theme Builder and Thrive Suite, like Thrive Architect, then Thrive Apprentice is really not a big leap for you. It really is just a ma I mean, you could use Thrive Apprentice out of the box, do no tweaking to it, except maybe change some colors, and you're already ahead of what you can do with ThriveCart Learn in terms of customization. So if you have a website using Thrive Suite already, if you turn on Thrive Apprentice, it will automatically create some templates for you. You can use it right out of the box. And I have a whole course that you see, yeah, you have access to it. You're all access pass. So you have access to that course. I walk you through it step by step, and it's not as daunting as you think it is if you've at least got a Thrive Suite website already. If you came to me and said, Doug, I'm old and I'm tired and I just can't do this anymore by myself. I don't want to, right? I don't want
There's that.
to. But if you're like, I just can't even fathom this whole Thrive Suite thing, and you hadn't even set up a website yet, I would say, yeah, Jim, go ahead and go try ThriveCart Learn first. and then decide how serious you are about building courses and things like that, and then move over if you decide to. But since you already have a Thrive Suite website, it's not that big of a leap for you. So I would say give it a shot. Give yourself like a week or two. Put together a basic Thrive Apprentice setup. Follow my course. I go through the whole process. Hop on office hours like next week, and if you hit a stumbling block during the week, we'll screen share your website, which you will get you squared away there. I don't think it's out of your reach. So I would say, given that, I would recommend a Thrive Apprentice.
One last question. Do you still recommend Bunny.net or Vimeo, or is there any of those that is better or harder or easier for a beginner?
So the answer would have been Vimeo for beginners, but Vimeo recently changed their pricing model and they're much more expensive now. So it's one of those things like, how much do you want to spend? If you want just straight simplicity and money's not really a consideration, Vimeo 100% is easier. But if you're willing to give it maybe a couple hours to learn, then I would say Bunny is not only cheaper, but it's fully compatible with Thrive Apprentice. It's literally just when you get, and I have videos, by the way, on my YouTube channel. If you post in the community, I'll send them to you if you don't have them on my channel already. And it walks you through. You just basically say, I'm in North America or whatever, Europe, identify what region you want. I want to use Bunny Stream. Drop your video in, copy the direct play URL, go right to Thrive Apprentice. And say, I want to use a Bunny Stream video and drop it in.
Honestly, this whole course thing started a couple of years ago, and then COVID came, and then I had a heart attack, and I actually signed up for BunnyNet and paid the initial fee and bought some time, but then never used it. So I've been through a little of your training on Bunny. I'm just trying to not have to go backwards and redo things. You know, I'd like to do it once. So if BunnyNet is still cool, then I may go.
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah, so I have a legacy Vimeo account and I'm lazy, self-proclaimed. So I just drop my videos in Vimeo and call it a day. But I think I have 70 gigabytes worth of videos on Bunny right now. And I have all my office hours are in Bunny. I actually, one or two of my courses might have Bunny videos. Still totally a great recommendation. And given the price increase at Vimeo, if you don't have a legacy Vimeo account, Bunny is my number one recommendation.
Okay, thank you very much, Doug.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem. All right. I did not see any other pre-submitted questions. So if anyone else, Kim, Rob, or Michelle, if you have any, feel free to jump right in. And if none of you have questions, there you go,
I
Kim.
just got a quick one. I was following the tutorial on Shortcart and Short Triggers. And you creating the account over on the secondary site. And inside the tutorial, it talked about, you know, you said it was funny about how the meta user data was, how you had to set up the meta user data with the customer IDs. Well, since your video, the user interface has changed. So there wasn't a place to type in that little, the squiggly bracket thing, but it did say customer ID. So I think that should still work, right? I still put in the meta user label and then just use the drop down that they had inside the interface.
That sounds correct. Yeah, I think I even, funny enough, alluded to that change in the video because I had. At the time that I was recording that video, Adam was like, there's a new version of this coming. And I was like, are you going to change anything with the interface? Because I'm sitting here making this really complex video. And he's like, no, it should be fine. And then they changed the
They're
interface.
changing stuff all the time.
It drives me nuts. Like every time I record a video, like I probably get an email from a student once a week saying, I'm taking your video, your course, whatever, and these words have changed. And usually it's like, well, the words changed, but just click on it. It does the same thing. But then sometimes you get
Right.
these things where they've like moved entire fields. Give me just one second while I bring up, let's see, bringing up an example on my side. Because what you said sounds correct to me. Let's just
Right. Yeah, and
confirm.
it followed logic, but I just wanted to, since we're here,
Yep.
there's nothing like asking.
Absolutely. No, that's the whole point. Set user meta. Oh, that's annoying. They totally changed it, huh? Yeah. So when you there's a WordPress action for set user meta, and then there's like user
Oh, there is?
email. I think there is. Let me share my screen. I could be.
Yeah, because I didn't see that one. I did it the halfway your way and then used the drop down where it, at the bottom of the WordPress.
Yep, give me one second. I'm actually going to pull up my other tutorial on this as well,
Okay.
just to see if I have this correct. That's not too bad. Okay, let's pull up. That should be it. Bear with me just like 30 more seconds. Custom products.
Yeah,
Okay,
I did. I
so
needed. I did that.
yeah, set
I'm trying to.
customer IDs, the meta key. I think they're what I think they've done is actually given you multiple ways to do this now. Because I was having you set the meta key, and then what was the other field I was having you set?
It was something with test and live, but I did set the meta key.
Yeah.
But yeah, I used the drop down portion of it versus actually using a whole action that they created for it.
Yep. So there's set meta key. So now then let me share my screen here. Come on, Zoom. There. So here we have I just did like a order created in Instacart. And then I'm gonna come down here, WordPress. So we have find user, remove user. Set user meta is looking good to me. I'm gonna have to do a new tutorial on this. I would do set user meta. We'll do my test site, click append.
Would it set the user meta if the cre user hasn't? Because the whole purpose was I was trying to create the account. So would it set the meta for an account that doesn't exist?
So you would have to do WordPress create. You'll see, did they remove the create user?
No, I think create user is
Oh,
still
there it
there.
is. Create update user. And add
But
user meta.
that
There it
is
is.
interesting, though, because another method that I had looked into was to use like that WordPress user sync that keeps the two WordPress sites with the creates the users and keeps them in sync. And then the update meta would have been
Yes, that's
that
correct.
would, yeah. So
That's what
that
you would
would
have
have been.
done. This is what I would do though. So I forgot that they have this. So this is what I would do if you were just doing following my tutorial. I would do create update user. And then down here there was a section for meta key.
Meta.
And then this is where you'd bring in that value, like I showed
Yeah,
in the video.
when I did the yes, yours you typed it in, but here and you typed it in using a test and a live, but there's only one
Yes.
here which just says customer ID if you click the ampersand.
Yeah, first you need to complete this step. Oh, that's
Yeah,
annoying.
there's a
Let
customer
me
ID there.
actually, let's do my site real quick.
I
Let's
don't know. I kind of
change.
like the idea of using that WordPress sync.
There's another plugin too that I was thinking of making a video all about, and it was there's another plugin, and we might be talking about the same one. Why is it saying first complete the step in order to go? I don't know why that's giving me an issue. I have these sites connected. Sure, current sure triggers. Anyway,
Yeah.
it sounds like you're on the right track though. But
Okay.
what I gave, I think in the video where I said live or test, I think you would just always you would only change live or test based on what you wanted that user to be, if they were a live or a test user.
Oh,
But
okay. That was the purpose of that. Okay.
so yeah, so Actually, it's a little more complex than that. If you created that user on the first site in test mode, then you had to use test on the key. If you are just talking about real customers, set it to live and then set that user ID. You don't need to look for a test ID or a live user ID. It's just the same user ID, just the mode. So just, I would say almost just do exactly what I showed in the video in this step right here using, because you can still use the squiggly brackets. So go through that whole process. It shouldn't be much different. I'm curious though, if you give it a test, let me know if it works. If not, I'll jump in and re-record that tutorial.
Yeah, I think it works. I did it with just using the customer ID. When you hit the ampersand, the customer ID drops down. So that's what I used. And I think it's working. I'm still testing it.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. So it's even simpler now. For whatever reason, mine is saying that I have to go configure something. Oh, it's goofy. I have to fetch data. Come on, fetch it.
Yeah, that fetch data. Wow.
I hate that fetch data because actually their ThriveCart integration is actually, so ThriveCart, not SureCart, their ThriveCart integration puts fake data in there for you. I don't know why they can't just give us fake data on every single fetch. I would do set create update user. Nope, that's post create update set user. Add user meta. See, I don't even know why it's still telling me I have to go configure my trigger.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I think you're on the right track. If that doesn't, I haven't completely confused you. I've confused myself.
No, I'm good. Okay. But you said there was another plugin other than the WP user sync, the one I was thinking about.
So you're thinking WP user sync.
I think that's what it is. It's off the top of my head. Remote user sync.
Is this what you're talking about? I'm. Let's see, what was I using? You can use WP Fusion if you like.
WP Fusion.
That'll do it. If you use WP Fusion and it doesn't blow your brain up like it does for mine, I would say that already has the capability.
Really? Okay. I knew it had the ability to create the accounts. I have to sync users between sites. I have to look at that.
Yep. You can sync between them. I think it's like right here. Actually, no. They're recommending you use WP Remote User Sync.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. There's our answer. Just give that one a go. There's another one I was trying with a customer. It's a premium plugin. This one looks like it's free.
Right, which scares me sometimes because...
I know. I get you. I hate installing these kinds of plugins on my site. I just, for whatever reason, it feels wrong. You know what I mean?
Well, if it just crashes, I don't know who to call.
Exactly right. Exactly right. You can go on the WordPress support forum. Okay. I would just use this one. I think if WP Fusion is recommending it enough and their system's pretty robust, so I would give that a go. If that makes your life sound easier, and then just use the update meta.
Yeah, set user meta.
Yeah.
That looks like it would be, I think, the best way to go.
It sounds the most streamlined to me without having to worry about, because remember, if you do it the way that I showed, you also have to delete the other user if you don't want it there. Well, actually, that's a consideration. Do you want it in both places?
I do because of the whole link situation. I know we talked about it. You know, that's why you would actually install it on a subdomain. But if you install it on a subdomain, now you've got to worry about not only the links not working in the email, the fulfillment people not doing what they're doing, and then the affiliate links are going to be all confusing. So I was like,
well... Yes and no. The affiliate links can work just fine. There's actually a little piece of script. So as long as you go under your SureCart account, you're using SureCart, right?
Yes.
As long as you go under your SureCart account and then set your main site as your subdomain, everything works. And then your affiliate links, if you want to cross domain track between your primary, it's what I do. I don't have SureCart installed on my primary domain, but if someone wants to click on a link from Convology, the affiliate links work with just a little tiny little script you install and it cross tracks domains. I don't want to convince you to change your mind and go back the other direction. I know you've probably
but it's something to think about. It's something to think, definitely think about that. Because there's so many ways to do everything.
Gosh. Yeah. If you're like me and you don't use SureCart on your primary domain, don't have SureCart on your primary domain. Cause you're introducing a dozen moving parts now versus just link them over and call it a day. And no one cares or knows the difference. And affiliate links work just fine. Email links work just fine. That's literally my setup.
Yeah, I think my saving grace and to lessen the confusion is the fact that I do use WP Fusion.
Yeah.
So I rely heavily on it and its tagging features with the CRM. So
then if you're fine leaving users in both places, I think your idea that you just talked about is totally fine.
Yeah, I just want to keep them in sync, but yeah.
There you go. I think that'll work just fine.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry about that, people.
No, that's what this is for. It's nice having actual things to solve. All right.
Speaking of which.
Yeah, there you go, Rob. The Midas touch over here. Here it comes.
Yeah. Watch out. I just had a question about I need to replace some old affiliate links with new ones and was wondering what's the best way to do a kind of global search and replace on the site. I imagine there's probably a plugin for that, but I could FTP into the, directory or something like that as well. Maybe do it that way. I don't know if there was a plugin or FTP or other route that you would normally suggest or you do yourself, Doug.
So to clarify, you have affiliate links for other people and you're linking externally to other websites and you're wanting to change those?
Yeah.
Did you happen to make your own redirect links or did you just straight link to those websites?
No, that's what I'm in the process of tidying up is like old legacy links, which were the direct ones, and I want to move them into the redirection plugin.
Got it. Yeah, so unfortunately, unless you're looking to do it manually, you would have to use a search and replace plugin. I got away from using those because they terrified me. I used them for years and years and years on client sites. There's like better search and replace, and there's search and replace. I'll tell you which one I recommend. Give me a second. But it requires you, obviously everything you do on a WordPress website is database driven. So what it does is it goes into your SQL database and it finds whatever you're searching for and it replaces it. But it does, the one I like to use, does tell you, we have found the following instances of this link or of whatever you're searching for. You just have to make sure you don't mess up because it's permanent. Permanent. So, and if you put wrong symbols in there, you're dropping wrong symbols into your database and it will break your site. Mm-hmm. So let's do search and replace. There's the better, I think it's better search. Oh, I remember this icon more. Let me share my screen. Mm-hmm. So I know one of these has more than the other. So better search and replace obviously has a million users.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure I used this one from like 2013 until 2018 when I was doing a lot of agency work. But let's install this just for fun on my demo site here. I don't really care if it explodes. And then we'll walk through it real fast.
Cool.
Let's see. Search and replace. Yes, good. Run as dry run. This is what I was hoping this would have. It's your ability to make sure that it's just fake. So like if you were searching for, I'm just going to do a search for Combology and we'll replace it with The Real Japan. And I literally just say, so if you're on Windows, control click, I'll just shift click all of these. So you select all the tables.
Right.
And then just do a dry run. And it's going to go through all, that's going through all those really slowly, isn't it? But it's going to go through all of them. And here's what I would recommend for a link. Like, you know how you can put https://, or http://, or www, or non-www? Don't do that part. Just do website.com.
Yeah.
Right? Slash, because then that'll find not only the ones that you might have put the www in, but it'll also find the ones that you didn't. So just remember, when doing this, keep it as broad as possible and don't narrow down too far.
Mm-hmm.
So this is almost This won't take too long. I just want to show you how this process works.
Yeah, no, it'd be useful to see.
So that inevitably you're not too lost. Hopefully it finds something. I'm sure it will, because we're searching everything. So what you might actually want to do, Rob, in yours is,
I could be selective, couldn't
yeah, so you could say, I don't really care about checking fluent forms because that doesn't make sense, or late point,
I?
or Presto Player or Surecart, but you could look for, oh, well, by the way, it'll do a run. It'll check here for you. And then you can, from there, I believe, if this is like the other one, it'll let you choose. It'll say, oh, we found six instances of this in your
Oh, that
posts.
would be really useful, actually, if it works like that.
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed. I think that's how the other one worked, but that one looked like it had fallen off over the years. Almost done.
Do you recognize this interface, Doug? Did you think you used this one at all?
This looks just like the other one did, but I swear it was the other one that I used. But yeah, run is dry run. I mean, obviously, the interface has changed a little bit because the world has changed. So 157 tables were searched. Let's see, 157 were searched. 95 cells were found that need to be updated. Obviously, zero changes were made. So I think it's the other one then that I for sure used, or at least that I liked more because it told me how many instances were found in each one. So
So what was that? Sorry, at the top of the screen there was, what's that click here?
maybe this will tell us.
Ah,
So if
okay.
you so oh this is cool. So do it as a dry run first, and then as you scroll down, these are all zeros. It found one in a fluent forms entry. That was me
Okay.
running a
Oh,
test.
right, and you can just hover and in each instance
Well,
approve it.
it's going to tell you to upgrade if you want to see the exact details.
Oh, I see.
But here's what I would learn from this, right? I would find where there's instances of it and say, fluent forms, that doesn't make sense. SMTP logs, that doesn't make sense. Late point doesn't make sense. But if we get down to like the post meta, look at that. Posts and post meta. Okay, great. So what I would do then is I would go through this checklist on the left for selecting tables, and I would say all I care about is the post. Where'd it go? Post and post meta. So I would just say post and post meta. Or in your case, it's probably just posts. And then do the replace there. But remember, if you're trying to, if this was, if the links were, that was it, then I would just replace. Well, if you search for that and you just replace with site.com/test, it'll get rid of all the other stuff. So what I would do is I would only search for site.com/test and replace with site2.com/test.
Yeah, got you. That's good to see that.
And take a backup of your site first.
Okay, cool. Good stuff. Lovely. Great. Thanks, Doug.
No problem. The floor is open.
Hey Doug, I'm sitting in the dark as usual.
Hey, Michelle.
Early morning. I have kind of more like a brainstorm question that I want to ask. After all those technical questions, mine's going to sound really basic, but I thought it'd be better to brainstorm rather than do a post. I, of course, am going with Circle Paywall based on our discussions of the all my stuff is in Circle now. And what I'm thinking is, if someone doesn't join my membership, there would be sections that I might piece off as a course, like a one-time purchase for a course. And the way that it's set up in Circle doesn't really lend itself just to give them access to the space in all those cases. So I'm wondering, does it make sense to just take that content and put it into a high-level course and sell it through high-level? Or do you feel like maybe extending the spaces in Circle is still the best option? What are your thoughts on that?
I like keeping it all in one place. So you're saying that you have a membership that like includes everything, but if someone doesn't want to join it, maybe you want to sell stage one or stage three or stage five separately. And you're saying that the paywall feature isn't seeming conducive to that?
It would, in one case, I might be able to get away with it. Like for instance, there's a build a Squarespace website section, and that's a space. So that would make sense to give them the whole thing. But in the other stages, it's more, there's a lot more pieces in the stages than just the course piece that I would give them, because Circle still doesn't have quite the sophisticated learning system where there's two levels of course menus. Does that make sense? Where
Yeah.
like one level, and then I've got like eight videos on one page.
Got it. So just brainstorming then. Have you seen the new high level community course feature that was just released?
Not recently. I haven't looked at it in probably 6 months, maybe
Oh,
longer.
it's really good now.
Really?
I
Of
regret not
course.
making a video on it. Here, it's coming because it's so good now. Let me bring up high level and bring up my test site that I was using
I
for.
was waiting for that and waiting for that and waiting for that
It's
and
here.
couldn't wait. And now I'm like, of course it is.
If they
Well, that's
make
good.
enough tweaks to it could be a serious alternative to Circle
Wow.
in terms of features. So if I go under, I just want to make sure this is the one that I have set up. Okay, it is. Share my screen. Where did it go? Okay, so inside of High Level, you can go to memberships, and then under communities, you can create groups. And I'm showing you the community side first just to show you the cohesiveness with the courses. So you can
Yep.
create groups, and then it's really easy. You can just create a group and then call it like Doug's group. Invalid group name, I'm sure it's the apostrophe. Yep. And then click create group. Of course. Why does it put the apostrophe there if it's not viable? There we go. Oh, gee, come on. There it goes. So then you can see here, this is a amazing interface compared to what it used to be for the communities. And it's
Yeah.
just like Circle. You can create a post, you can publish it to announcements, you can add more channels, you can add videos, attachments, links. Phenomenal there. And then under groups, your people can belong to different communities and groups within your own community. And then taking it a step further, it adds a learning tab at the top where you can add courses. So these would be courses within the community if you wanted them to be. And then you could set pricing here individually. But if you didn't really care so much about the community component and how integrated it is, you get this what they're calling like the client portal. And then you could have all of your courses just be accessible from here. You can remove these other options and just say take course. And what it'll do is it'll take them over to this courses page. Of course, I have none. But all your courses will be listed here as like tiles, and they could see all courses or my courses. And it's a really slick interface. So, like, you would come in under courses, and then you would go products, and you just create a new course here. Import from Kajabi, that's cool. We'll just do start from scratch. And then you could choose the type of course that you want it to be. I wonder if I can get to the interface fast enough. Here's the course builder. Can I just preview it? So you can put your own huge top banner image. And if you can envision, this actually looks strikingly similar to my Thrive Apprentice course setup, where then there's just a nice big video right here. And then there's like a place to ask questions, and then lessons, and then instructor info. And you can add more to this sidebar, I think. And then here under customize, this classic one I think is the one that gets used, but there's different themes if you want to go to different themes. This might be the way to go if your circle isn't set up. So just to clarify, all of your circle courses, it sounds like they're not in courses. You've got some of them in like groups versus.
No, I have a lessons. No, I have. Let me. Should I just share my screen? Is that
Yeah.
easy?
Yeah, let me just make sure
Okay.
I've enabled it real quick. There you go, you can share.
Okay. Let me just go to. Yeah, it's might not be the best setup, but it's working well. So now I just have to figure out how to sell other pieces. So in the courses, this is what they see. But if basically the members, they go through the stages. And so let
So it
me,
is a course.
yep. So when they see the course, if they go into any of these courses, they'll see a few videos on the page. Well, this is an example of one, but in some cases, let's see, where is down here? This is the kind of sub course that I wanted to. So this is where there might be several videos on a page. And so this is within, let me get my head wrapped around this. Okay, so this is a space, but it's a single lesson. Does that make sense?
So it's actually the course is the space, and you're thinking of these modules as
Yes, thank you.
you're wanting to grant access to just a module within a course.
Like just
Yeah.
this section here is
Got
all I
it.
want to sell, but I haven't figured out how to wrap my head around how I would do that.
You know, not even Thrive Apprentice could really do that. Well, it can if you hack your way
Okay.
around dripping. So that's actually quite a complex ask, and I don't think Circle will ever offer that.
Yep.
So
Maybe better just to move this section into high level as a section,
it
because
might
originally
be.
in Thrive I had it as a separate thing, but it makes so much more sense for my members to go through it through a stage that that's how I started integrating it as a stage. For a couple years it's been a separate course, but of course the one time I put it into the stages, now I'm like, really would be nice if it was a separate course, because then I can just basically sell that as a one-off course if they don't join the membership.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. So in this case, so since we're still having our brainstorming caps on, it ultimately comes down to the experience you want to offer your members. I
Yep.
agree, it's not a great experience to say, "Hey, members, you get access to all of this stuff," and then have that module be there twice. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And it's not great to one, eat up one of your available spaces in Circle
Yeah,
to do that.
exactly.
But then the other side of that is, do you care so much about these non-member customers? I know that sounds harsh, but like
Yeah.
if you're like, look, you just want to buy this for a one-off, here you go, here's access to it. You can access it in my one-off portal. But if you want the
Yep.
full experience, go join the membership. I think that's
Yep.
okay. As long as you can get over that mental hurdle, which affects me, of having it in two places, because then
Yeah.
I feel it's a psychological thing for me. I feel disjointed, and so it just
Yeah.
bothers me, and it bothers me to the point where I would say, well, that's not available to buy separately. But that's me. If you
Right,
can get over
right.
that, then that's the route that I would probably go. If it were me, it would be Thrive Apprentice and Circle. So for you, which is to my benefit because I share the login, right? I have an ecosystem built.
Yeah.
But for you, it would be High Level
High
and
level
Circle,
and circle.
which
Okay.
honestly, take every opportunity then that you have inside of your High Level disjointed part to say, you know, you're really missing out by not having the membership. Go get the membership and just constantly be
Yep.
pushing people back that direction.
Yeah. And I think in my mind, I've already mentally said to myself psychologically that my non-members will have a different experience. And because I'm building a website on there, I could see where it could be more of like a shop experience for them rather than like a full immersive, you get access to me. It's much more, I buy this, maybe I might ask her a question, but I'm not going to be in it. There's no real community part to it. Like you're not around other people, you're just buying it, you're kind of do it yourself kind of experience.
Yeah.
And maybe some smaller, like PDF kind of checklist things as well that could be available for sale. So more, I have so much content, Doug. It's crazy for me not to do something like that for the people who don't buy. And because how many people don't buy, 95% of our list doesn't actually buy the main offer that we want. I'm thinking I don't want to make it more work, but it's already all in there, and most of the videos are all on Bunny anyway. So it's just a matter of taking those Bunny videos and just putting them somewhere else, I guess.
Yeah, that's very true. That's a good outlook to have. So yeah, that's what I would do.
Okay.
High level for your side stuff.
Cool. Okay. Thank you for talking that out.
Yeah, absolutely. And
Yeah,
I think
I
Rob
was
had
just
a
because I,
question.
yeah, no, well, Michelle, I was just sort of listening along and picturing what you were proposing, and I think the fact that it sort of stands outside of your main membership is a bonus, actually, is a benefit. I think you shouldn't see it as a negative experience for the person, because I think it just emphasizes the fact that they're outside the community and the membership, and that's just going to
Yep.
kind of entice them. The fact that they're getting that different experience, and obviously you're going to, as Doug says, you constantly kind of refer them back, talk up the experience, the, you know, what they can get, all the benefits they can get of being in that better space. So,
Yep.
you know, if they, and they go through that experience, really love the content, then it's just, that's a great upsell and tease for the main membership.
Yeah, and it started as a course, and I've sold it for $297, just that one section. And then and I tested it, and it did lead to people wanting to join the membership after they actually bought the course. Even though if they just join the membership, they can get it all, for so much less.
Yeah.
So
Interesting.
that's my theory on it, and I'm thinking, why not? Especially if I did the bunny videos on purpose because I wanted it to be flexible and movable and not stuck in one system, because previously I had everything on Kajabi and it was just a complete nightmare to get out of that. So yeah, that's cool. And being that you've done quite a bit of that, Rob, where you've sold stuff on your website and stuff, that's reassuring to hear.
And interestingly, I've been a similar historical journey. All my stuff was originally on Teachable, and now I put all my sort of content pieces in Bunny, exactly for the reason you state. So that it's like a single point of reference. So yeah, I
Yep.
can totally relate to that.
Cool. Good. Thank you. That's awesome.
One note, Michelle, if you do use High Level for your courses, their course video player only accepts uploaded videos. So if you want to keep them in Bunny, you'll have to use just the text section below where you would normally upload a
Yep.
video. And
Okay.
I don't know if you've played with it, but there's here, let me just share real quick. So
You know what I hated about High Levels themes is just how little customization you can do to it, but I'm getting over that, so I'm all right.
still a thing. I mean, technically it's the same thing with Circle, right? That's one of the main
Yeah,
reasons why, like,
exactly.
that's what kept Rob from
Yeah.
joining for so long. I think we got him all
Yes, me
convinced though.
too.
Yeah, totally. But we have, like, right here where it says select a video, you have to upload only. But if you come down here and you just use, like, the post details, you could click this
Yep.
little code thing, and you could probably drop your BunnyNet embeddable code right here. And I haven't
Okay.
tested this, but I bet it would render out. And you I haven't tested it. What happens if you just put something here? Here, let's just see. Test, save, preview. I'm hoping it just jumps to the top. Come on, you can do it, high level. Sometimes it hangs, I don't know why. It doesn't like us today.
Zoom's hogging the power.
You know, it's all those gurus on YouTube, and there are thousands of people trying to use high level. I don't know if this will eventually load, but I'm hoping instead of leaving a big blank spot for a video, I'm hoping it's intuitive enough to know that there's just a
Right.
post detail section that jumps to the top. If not, you'll probably have to just upload your video straight here and
Yeah.
kind of get over that part. If it were me, I'd have to get over not having my videos all hosted in the same place either.
Yeah. Do you know if it does multiple levels as far as, because this is a pretty robust course, even though I've jammed it into the membership a little bit tightly.
Yeah, so you can create categories and then you can add
Oh,
subcategories.
subcategories. Yep,
Yep.
cool.
And you can add assessments and you can add lessons. So, like, let's add a lesson and then let's add a subcategory. So you've got subcategories within categories, and then you can, that's just cloning it. You can drip them, lock them. Has this
Okay.
uploaded at all? Come on. I think that's it. Under details, you can upload big cover images. Customization, you can change the word for like instructors.
Yeah,
They've
cool.
come a long way.
Okay.
Still don't know why they don't
It'll
upload.
do the trick for sure.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. I think that's the
Excellent.
route of least resistance, probably. Ah, there it
Yeah.
goes. It loaded. Yes.
Oh,
So it looks
cool.
like it does jump up to the top. And as long as you add in some nice imagery into this and you add a nice cover image to the thing as well, this will look very
Yeah.
clean.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Perfect. Thank you for brainstorming on that. That is so good. I'm so glad I did Bunny for those, and that will work. That's because that's such a nightmare when you have that many videos and you're like,
I know.
yay, moving videos, my favorite thing.
I know. I totally
But
agree.
yeah.
All
And
right.
just while I'm asking quickly about your the actually Circle, does Circle integrate with Bunny better now? Were you saying that?
So it does and it doesn't. Let's get a good example. Let's see if they fixed it. So it had an issue. I don't know if you saw a couple office hours ago where I was showcasing it. But I'm logging into my account real quick. My whole world is like slow today. I don't know what's going on. I'm like trying to log into Bunny and it just keeps kicking me out. There it goes finally. All right, let me grab a quick video here. Let's go and grab an office hours video from last week. Direct play URL copy.
Are you sharing?
Not yet. I'm just grabbing, I'm
Okay. Yeah,
jumping around
just
to
wanted to
some.
make sure.
You're all good. Okay, so let's see. New post. Okay. Have to like jump around 50 screens and Zoom always hates it. Share this one. Okay, so you can add a video now and if you go to the embed link and you paste in the direct play URL from a Bunny video, it was really broken. It still is. Like it zooms in and makes the video really tall rather than making it a normal video. And then if you publish it, actually, let me do this in like a Shortcart course that I haven't done anything with. Actually, it can't work in courses, by the way. I don't know if you saw that. So, like, it's the
Yeah.
circle thing is only Vimeo, YouTube, Wistia type format. More and more is like nothing. So you have to not use the video. You have to use this version of the video player slash video.
Yep.
Is that what you do in your courses, by the way?
Do you know what? Now I'm trying to remember how we did these because I had a VA help me do that. Oh, that's weird.
Isn't that awful?
Yeah,
And
I
then like if you save it and view it, once you hit play, it like shrinks it, but it keeps the video player large. So they clearly have something broken here that I
Is that Circle that's broken or Bunny?
Think it's in, it was it, is it
Embedly.
Embedly? I think it's Embedly. And so I'm gonna send support tickets to everybody and just be
Yep.
like, this doesn't work, this doesn't work. See who comes back and
Yeah.
tells me.
Yep. Okay. So direct play URL is from Bunny.
Yeah, so here's direct play. In this video player here, on the right-hand
Yep.
side, there's direct play URL. You
Yep.
just copy that, and then you would t well, if you're taking it to high level, you would want to get this embed code right here.
Okay,
So
embed it
you
like
would,
normal, old, the old way.
turn off autoplay.
Yep.
The others are fine, but if you're putting it into circle, where it doesn't really work yet, annoyingly, it would be the direct play URL, and then just drop it in. That's the link that needs to be there.
Okay. You know what? I think I did the old school embed on all of mine. If I remember right, so
On all of your circles?
circle, yeah.
Does the embed code actually work?
Oh, did we? Now I'm totally forgetting.
Where would
I
your
don't remember
videos
how I did it.
be, I wonder?
Maybe we didn't do embed code because I had a VA help me, and now I can't remember what we did.
Watch them not have put them in Bunny at all.
Yeah.
Could they have been Vimeo?
No, everything's a bunny. I may have downloaded and uploaded. Now I'm totally forgetting what we did. It didn't take too long because everything was in bunny. I moved everything to bunny. because I had used Bunny for Thrive, and so everything was in Bunny as a so it took me less time to put it in Circle than it did to move out of Kajabi into Thrive.
I'm going to guess you uploaded every one of your videos.
I might have, actually, now that you're saying that. I think maybe we downloaded and uploaded.
I bet you did.
But I have, yes, which I won't be doing in high level. I will definitely be embedding.
And then fingers. I don't think this, by the way, I don't think this featured media will ever integrate with Bunny. So bear that. I mean, that's one of the big things keeping me from moving my courses off of Vimeo. Vimeo is just so universally accepted. But I have a
It's
legacy
just so
account, so
expensive.
yeah, my legacy account doesn't suffer from those new rules. I have like unlimited videos up to 5 gigs uploaded per week. So like it's phenomenal. I can never, I'm just waiting until they drop the hammer on me and they're like, "Oh, you've got to migrate now." And I'll be like, "See, that'll be the end of the world because then I'll have like 500 videos to migrate off of Vimeo and you won't see me for 2 weeks."
That's I had to move 200 or almost 300 videos to Bunny.
Oh, gosh,
So
that would drive me
it's
crazy.
painful. So but they're there now, and hopefully Circle can get the embed thing figured out so that there'll be less headaches with that. And it looks like it'll work easy with high level, so that's good. Cool. Thanks, Doug.
No problem. All right, we got like 8 minutes or so, and if anyone has questions.
Yeah, Doug, I have a just a quick one, really. It was just on Google Analytics. I set up my new property under GA4 using my original Universal Analytics property, and it kind of uses some of the basic settings, but I never kind of fully completed the setup because every time I go in there, it just scrambles my brain instantly, like
Did
most
they
Google
email you?
stuff.
Did they email you threatening you?
I got an email as well, but
I
it's
got
just
200 of those for all my clients. I'm just not in a good mood about it.
But I didn't know if that's something you or if you know anyone that can maybe sort of sort that out for me. I just want to hand it over to somebody, or if it's relatively straightforward, or there's a video online or something like that. I mean, if you didn't know yourself, then I was thinking maybe I could just post in the community and ask in there.
Well, I have to do 200 of them. So, if I'm not an expert, I will be. So, I'm happy to help you out. Just give me like a week or two if you don't
There's no
care to.
urgency.
Yeah, give me a week or two. I've got to start migrating them and I'll figure out an easy way to do it. And then, if I need to make a video, I will. Or if it's just a, hey, Rob, push this button, I'll let you know. If there's more to it, maybe we tackle it on one of your calls in 10 minutes or
That's
something.
fine. Yeah, that's cool. Because I think is it the just not until July anyway, the deadline, I think, isn't it?
Yeah,
Something
it's
like
like
that.
end of July, I think. It's to the point now where I am straight up tempted just to ditch analytics in general and just go to my other platform solutions that I have. But
Are you still using Fathom?
yeah, I am. I really, really like it. But there are other wonderful options out there. No, they're not free, but the amount of time and effort that Google Analytics requires from you just to get anything done in GA4, it's like my hourly rate makes that completely unapproachable. So I will get back to you on that one.
What would you use, Doug, for those of us who don't want to go near Google
Fathom
Analytics,
Analytics.
Fathom?
It's what I'm using for Cosmology, and I have been for over a year now. I love it. I use it for several of my clients, my bigger clients that are not already like married to Google Analytics. I've just set them all up on Fathom. So I've got like a big logistics company that's on Fathom. I've got four, five, six clients, I think, on Fathom. It's just wonderful. You can give them their own white labeled dashboard for it. It's all SaaS hosted. None of it's on your site. It gets the job done unless you need to go like super deep into the Google ecosystem. But I don't.
So you don't notice any, there's no drawbacks to the average user using Fathom over Google,
Zero draw.
knowing you.
There's only upside for the average user. You get every metric you personally would want to know. You can do UTM parameter campaign tracking, external referral URL tracking, conversion tracking with monetary. You just have to assign values to goals. But the 90, I would even go as far as to say 99% of Google Analytics users do not need Google Analytics, and Fathom gets the
Okay.
job done. But if if you have specific use cases that you're doing in Google, by all means, let me know. But if you're just saying like, how much traffic did I get? What pages were visited? How many goals were completed? Where did my
Right.
traffic come from? Oh my gosh, get off of Google because it slows your site down and it's just clunky.
Yeah, I have Fathom Analytics. I just need to set it up. But I always wondered, was there a drawback to steering people in that direction?
Other than the integration that Google Ads has with Google Analytics and some of those more advanced things on the Google ecosystem, there's no drawback. It's made my
Yeah.
life so much easier for the sites that I move. Because what's also nice is your clients don't have to log in to see their dashboard. I think you're in the like internet space like I am. So like if you put your clients on Fathom, they don't need a Google account, they don't need any of this. You just like, here, check
Right.
out your analytics. It's a private URL just for you, and they can see the beautiful bars and graphs that they all care about so much
Yeah, they
and
are cute.
call it a day.
That sounds perfect for me too.
I can use Google Analytics and I don't want to. So that's for me, that's the endorsement.
Okay. Oh, another quick question because you guys are talking about Bunny. I have did used I have SureCart. Of course, you can upload your stuff to their your media to their site, but I also did put in an external link to test out Bunny. Do you see any kind of issues with having the media stored on Bunny and just putting the link in from SureCart?
Like external storage downloads, like PDFs and
Yes.
stuff. I don't see any downside to that. I was just
Okay.
talking with Rob about that, I think last week or earlier this week. It's a totally doable thing if you don't want to host your media. The only benefit to that is that I believe if you store it with SureCart, they give you more of like an encrypted security component to that. But if that's not a concern of yours, then there's zero downside to it. I would only do that if you've already got all your stuff in Bunny anyway and you're comfortable with Bunny. Just roll with it. It doesn't bother me. I don't know why, but I've got it split. Some of my stuff's on Bunny linked in SureCart, and some of my stuff's just uploaded to SureCart that way. And there's no difference. The user honestly can't tell a difference. All right. Any last questions? Cool. All right. Well, I've got a call in 1 minute that I have to jump to, but good office hours, everybody. Have a great
Thank you.
weekend, and I'll see you in the community.
Yeah, have a great
Thanks,
weekend,
Doug.
all. Take care.
Thanks.